Greetings, everyone, all the brethren. Welcome to the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles 2011. My time marches on, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. How many feasts have you attended in your lifetime? Well, I can look back, and the very first feast that I attended was in 1961. So that makes it 50 years. 61? Yeah. 60 years. How about that? Oh, is that correct? No, 61, 50 years. Yes, math in the head's not working too good today. Okay. Well, let's continue on with the key of late David and how important that is for us in our relationship with God, in our spiritual lives. Now, here's something we need to understand. What a blessing it is to live in the last days, even though we're going to see all the terrible things take place. But the truth is, God has given us more understanding through His Word, because we live in the last days, than those who wrote the Old Testament and brought the prophecies. Now, David, because of his relationship with God, had more understanding than perhaps any of the other writers of the Bible, with the exception of Isaiah. Although Isaiah did not have the time frame. Daniel had a lot of understanding of the empires of the world, and he was given the 70-week prophecy leading to the Messiah, and yet he was told that those things are closed and sealed to the time of the end. Then he says in the latter part of Daniel 12, but the wise shall understand. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But the wise shall understand. And who are the wise? The ones who are wise are ones who love God and serve Him, keep His commandments, and happen to be living at a time when God gives the disclosure and understanding of it. And brethren, it's not something that we have inherently of ourselves. But you see, the way we understand is that all of the things of God that He's working out in prophecy hang on the framework of the Sabbath and the holy days. Now, those in the Old Testament did not understand the holy days the way that we understand them today. They had the meaning for them, for the nation of Israel, for the 10 tribes, and for the Jews. But for the church, it has far greater meaning. You take every one of the holy days, beginning with the Passover, which is not a holy day, but then all the feast of God and all the holy days of God, and every year we grow an understanding of the truth of God. Now let's turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and let's see how tremendous that this is for us and what we need to do with it and how we need to understand that it came to us. And even David, though he understood perhaps more than any of the other ones that who wrote the Bible, because he had this relationship with God and was a man after God's heart, yet he didn't understand many of the things that he gave. As we'll see a little later, he even uttered some of the words that Jesus would utter on the cross, and also some of the thoughts and feelings that Jesus would go through. Now, that's quite something to really grasp and understand. Now, there is some similarity between David and us in many different ways. That's why it's mentioned the key of David in Revelation 3. Now, let's come here to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and it talks about our calling. It talks about why God chose us, and that's an important thing to understand. Verse 2, who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father. God is involved in your life, the Father. He knows you. He knows me. He knows all those who are His. He's given his Spirit to them. We are his children, as we have covered. See? That's something to really, really grasp and understand. By sanctification through the Spirit, sanctification means to be made holy. We receive the Holy Spirit, so we're sanctified through the Spirit. Unto obedience, not doing away with the laws and commandments of God, but loving obedience from the heart. That's why you need to go through the series I did, Commandment Keeping and God's Grace. And that'll show you how we are to keep the laws and commandments of God with our whole heart spiritually. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is our sacrifice, see. We cannot come into the Holy of Holies in heaven above except through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now notice the blessing that Peter gives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as we saw, he has the keys to the grave and hell. And he's going to resurrect us, see. Tremendous. Now notice, beyond that, we have the greatest hope, we have the greatest calling, we have the greatest jobs that can ever be. We are going to be inheriting the kingdom of God with Christ. Do we understand that? That's why we're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. We are being trained with God's Spirit. We are being prepared to rule the world. Now notice, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for us, and it will be brought by Jesus Christ, who are being safeguarded by the power of God through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's us, brethren. But we're going to live to see it. Now, if time goes on, I don't know how much time God is going to give me. Whatever he gives me, I'm thankful for. And however long it may be, I'll yield to God as best I can and do what God wants me to do. Ask him to lead me and guide me in it. Same way in all of our lives, brethren. Ask God to help us, to bless us, to lead us, to guide us, to uplift us. All right? Then he talks about being in a trial, proving of our faith more precious than gold that perishes, how we are to be loving God, looking for the glory that's going to be given at the revelation of Christ, and receiving that. Now, verse 10 becomes very important. How about all of those who came before us, came before the apostles, and that all that came before us after the apostles and down through the centuries, down through the time, down through to the 21st century A.D. And here we are. We have the Word of God, what God inspired them to write. We have the thoughts and meaning and feeling given to us from David in his relationship with God, so that we know what the key of David is, so that we know how we can relate to God. Now notice, concerning which salvation, verse 10, the prophets prophesied of the grace that would come to you, have diligently searched out and intently inquired. They wanted to know, just like Daniel. Lord, what are these things going to be? Searching into what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ in which was in them, was indicating, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now we're going to see some of the sufferings of Christ that David was inspired to give the exact words that Jesus would say. Isn't that amazing? When we see them, I'm always just struck. I wonder what David thought after he had written these words down. And he knew that God inspired him. I wonder what he thought that that would mean. Well, we're able to find out today. To whom it was revealed that not for themselves, but to us, they were ministering these things which now have been announced to you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things the angels desire to look. Isn't that amazing? Now, why don't you stop and just think about this right here when we've said this. And think about the education of the elite of the world who reject God. Yes, they have their wealth and they have their power, you know, and that comes from Satan the devil because he gives it to them. And think about what we have and how much greater it is and how much more profound it is to have the Bible, the Word of God, and to be able to understand it, to have God's Spirit in us. That is amazing, brother. That is fantastic. That is exhilarating and exciting beyond belief, and humbling indeed. So Peter writes, "For this reason, be prepared in your minds. Be self-controlled and fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Then he says, don't conform yourself to your former behavior. Nah, don't do that. Don't do that at all. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy that he was able to understand the gospel and salvation through faith in Christ Jesus and get that from the Old Testament. What do you know about that? That's exactly what we have been doing, isn't it? Focusing on Christ, focusing on our relationship, focusing on what that means for us at the resurrection and coming of Jesus Christ. Now let's come back to the book of Psalms. Indeed, we're going to go through a lot of Psalms again. So this makes it kind of an easy Bible study, if you would, you know, concerning these things. Let's come to Psalm 84. And let's again see the attitude that David had and see that this is the attitude that we need to have to go forward in truth and in love and understanding and to face the difficult days that are ahead. Now, Psalm 84, let's begin in verse 1. Psalm 84 and verse 1. We even have a song in the hymnal based on this. Notice, "How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Think about what it's going to be like, be living in New Jerusalem, because that will be the greatest tabernacle of all, built by God himself. Places prepared by Jesus, as he said, for you and for me and all the saints. Now notice the desire, notice the zeal, notice the love, notice all the key of David, the keys of David, that we have studied up to this point. How they all come together right here in this verse. "My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." That's what it has to be with us. Then he says, he looks up at "Yea, even the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Notice the blessing that is coming. He was looking forward to it. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house." And we're going to be. "They will still be praising you, Selah." Whenever you see Selah, it means stop and think and meditate on this and derive from it the personal meaning that it means to you as you're thinking and meditating on these words. Now notice verse 5, another blessing. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Your ways are in their hearts." See? Yes. "Who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a place of springs, Yea, the early rain also clothes it with blessings. Notice what it's going to be. How our relationship with God is going to be. Let these things come upon us now. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Your ways are in their hearts, who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a place of springs. Yea, the early rain also clothes it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appearing in Zion before God. That's a prophecy of coming before God during the millennium for us, isn't it? O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Think on that, what it means anticipating to be coming before God, to see God the Father face to face, as we'll cover in Revelation 22 when we get there. See, this is tremendous, brethren. Notice what this is here. Verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Look at the purity of thought. Look at the purity of mind. Look at the purity of zeal and love and understanding and dedication. Not something? All right. Let's go on. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And what is the best of the good things that God is going to give us? Eternal life. And living with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and all the saints, and ruling the world. That's what we have to look forward to. See how excited we can be with that, brethren? See how loving we can, thankful we can be with God? Yes, indeed. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. All right, now let's continue on. The sixth key of David is that he understood the potential of mankind. Now, we find this in Psalm 8. So let's go there. Psalm 8. Now, it has to be translated correctly in order for you to understand it, so that we realize that David really understood about the potential that we have as human beings. He looks at man. Now, we've already covered here recently Psalm 139 of how awesome that we are made, that God had his hand in making us from the instant of conception. So here we are. All right, Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and the heavens reflect the glory of God, and the goodness of God, and the power of God, and the magnificence of God. And what a blessing for us today, living in a time where we have the technology that we can have photos, actual photos, of what the stars and galaxies really are like. That's tremendous. All right, let's go on. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your adversaries to silence the enemy and the avenger. Oh, that goes right to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, about your calling. Not many wise, not many noble, but the lowborn and so forth. The weak, to put to shame the things that are. That's why it says there to the Church of Philadelphia, the elite of the synagogue of Satan are going to come before us and worship God before our feet, so that they will know that God loved us, and loves us even at that point when we're in the kingdom of God, and much more so, really, when you understand it. All right, let's continue on. So they had a good view of the heavens, not like we have today, but David wrote this, and remember, he came before the tent of the Ark of the Covenant in his house. And he sang these psalms to God. And he says, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yes, indeed, why are we here? Where are we going? What is your destiny?" Well, David understood a great deal of this, as we will see. Verse 5, "For you have made him a little lower than God." Isn't that something? Not the angels. Oh, we're lower than angels because they're spirit beings. And the Septuagint translates this angels. But the word here is Elohim, which is a little lower than God. "And have crowned him with honor and glory." What did he say to Adam and Eve? Here's the whole earth. Have dominion over it. And multiply and replenish the earth. Look at it today. "You gave him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, and all that passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Okay. Well, that's something. Now, let's understand a little bit more about it here. In spite of all this, as we saw, he understood human nature, that it's vain. And he understood the problems and difficulties with it. And he also experienced and understood sin and forgiveness. So that's number 7. David understood personal sin along with the correction and forgiveness. Okay? Let's come to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Now here we find at a time when David had a tremendous sickness, illness. We don't know exactly what it is, but it was very intense. And notice his crying out to God. And this is what we need to do when we are sick. But he also understood here, as we will see, that the human flesh is weak and there's no soundness in it. See? And that the iniquities, the sin, have overwhelmed him. All right, verse 1. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, neither chasten me in your fury. For your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand presses heavily upon me. There is no soundness in my flesh." Now, I don't know what it was that he had, but it sure was a terrible sickness. "Because of your anger," whatever it was that he did. "Nor rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me to bear." Now notice, he had wounds. He said, verse 5, "My wounds are putrefied and fester because of my foolishness." Now, I don't know what it is that David did, but it was certainly something, wasn't it? He said, "I'm troubled, I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh." Now, there's one thing for sure. When you get really sick, and it's quite an intense sickness, you understand you need the mercy of God. You understand that these things have come upon you. Now, once in a while, there are things that come upon you which other people do. But look at what he's going through. Look at how he was appealing to God to help him. "No soundness in my flesh." Verse 8, "I am feeble and painfully broken. I groan because of the anguish of my heart. My Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails. As for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me." What a terrible condition that was. Now, I don't know if any of us have gone through that. I'm sure there are some brethren who've gone through things similar to this. But notice, He didn't forget God. Notice he wasn't angry against God. Notice he didn't accuse God. Notice he didn't accuse someone else. He understood his own sin. He understood his own iniquity. Yes, indeed. Here's how bad it was, verse 11. My loved ones and my friends stand apart from my plague, and my neighbors stand far off. Oh, don't go near him. You don't want to get what he has. You know, it was so bad, maybe is what we call today quarantine because of his condition there. Verse 12, and those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and they plot deceptions all the day long. Man, David was really in trouble, wasn't he? Now, I've never been this sick, and I have never gone through anything like this. This comes a close second to what Job went through. Remember, he was covered with boils from head to toe, and he had to take a potsherd and scrape them, and the pus and blood drained down, and the flies came, and maggots were there because flies laid their eggs, and they were eating up all of the pus and gore. Terrible, terrible thing here. He says, verse 13, but like a deaf one, I do not hear. I'm like a dumb one who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am as a man who hears not and in whose mouth there are no reproofs. For you, O Lord, in you do I hope. You will answer me, O Lord, my God. What a tremendous thing. God answered and heard him. Notice after he says here, verse 18, I will confess my iniquity. And he doesn't write it down for us. I'm full of anxiety because of my sins. And my enemies are vigorous, they are strong, and those who hate me without reason are multiplied. And those who render evil for good oppose me because I follow what is good. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Now also, you could take some of these words concerning the enemies, concerning those who hate him, and you could also take some of these things and apply them to Christ while he was hanging on the cross as the sin offering. Not the sickness and disease because of his sin, but the pain and the sorrow and the agony and the enemies running around at the base of the cross jeering at him. We'll see this a little bit later. Even those words were uttered by David in Psalm 22. We'll get to that a little bit later. Okay? So here we have. This is quite a thing, isn't it? Now notice the repentance that he gave in Psalm 51. So let's turn there. This is a vital psalm for us to really understand, and it shows repentance, regardless of your condition, regardless of what you have done, regardless of how it has been, you can still repent. God will forgive you. Remember this, as long as there's life, there is hope. Now, David strayed from God for this period of time with David, with the situation with David and his sin with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet had to come and tell him, you are this man, just before the baby of that relationship was born. And it died because of the sin of David and Bathsheba. All right, now, Psalm 51. Here's how you recover yourself out of these things, you see. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Notice, just as David was wholehearted in his righteousness to God, in his love to God, so he was wholehearted in his repentance toward God and sorrowful of the transgressions that he had. So he pleaded with God, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, the washing of the water of the word. Because he says, what you desire down here is truth in the inward parts. Okay? He acknowledges sin. He said, I sinned against you and you only. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. So when we're in situations like this and our own self-deception has gotten a hold of us and we have followed human nature and we're being corrected for it, then remember, God wants truth in the inward parts. So have all of that iniquity cleansed and wiped away. And in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities, crying out to God, help me, save me, clean me, be with me, forgive me. And then verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now notice verse 11, he came so close that he thought he was going to lose the Holy Spirit, because he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now that's amazing. So David understood sin, personal sin, and now we're going to see mercy and forgiveness. Let's come to Psalm 86. God is there, as it says here, ready to forgive. And as we're turning to Psalm 86, let's understand something very important. Jesus said, every sin that a man commits shall be forgiven him, except the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that is a total rejection of God. No sorrow, no remorse, no feeling of anything, but hatred and vitriol toward God. Then he said, and every blasphemy against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. So remember this, as long as there's life, there is hope. And there is always forgiveness available. Now, we need that because as human beings, we're made to be renewed. We have a sinful nature. We need to be forgiven. But we have the Holy Spirit of God so that we can minimize the sins that we do and not create great messes like David did, where he had to be punished the rest of his life in the judgment of God. Now, Psalm 86, bow down your ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O God, for I cry unto you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. Take away the heaviness, take away the sorrow. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and rich in mercy to all those who call upon you. So look, brethren, let's understand something that's very important, which is this. When you sin and you feel guilty and you really don't like to go to God, and you say to yourself, well, I'll go to God when I get it straightened out. You can't straighten it out unless you repent first. Do you understand that? That's an important thing for us to grasp. So when you sin, he is ready to forgive upon repentance like we have just seen. Now notice we'll cover a couple of verses here. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, not when you work it out to get right and then go to God. See, because you can't work it out. Only God can forgive you. I will call upon you, and you will answer me. So always remember that. There is mercy, there is kindness, there is grace, there is forgiveness. Now let's come to Psalm 103, just a few pages over here. And never forget this. I'll keep this in mind always. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103 and verse 1, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All the benefits of God. What a tremendous and fantastic thing that is. Now notice verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now as we have covered, in the case of very serious illness and sickness, there are underlying causes that you need to really search your heart and mind and soul, as we have covered there in the washing of the water by the Word, that you need to repent of. And notice you have to have forgiveness of sin first, and then healing, as it says here. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindnesses and mercy, who satisfies your desire with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles, and of course, when that's going to happen, is at the resurrection, isn't it? Completely. Yes. So this is quite a thing. Now let's go to one more. Let's go to Psalm 32 and see what happens after you've had your sins forgiven. Let's see how you stand before God. Let's see that you receive a blessing from God for that. Psalm 32. Now, when you've had your sins forgiven, and you have had them blotted out through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ, then not only in thanksgiving to God, then you need to ask God to give you the strength and give you the desire to put away the foolishness of what you have done and to really come to God for his wholeness, for his truth, for his love, for his goodness, see? And to revive you, to restore you. And God will. Okay, Psalm 32, verse 1. Notice this. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, that's the blessing that comes with the kind of repentance that we have covered here. Doesn't matter what's gone on. That's why you need to go forward. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in the How We Grow and Change and Overcome, he says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing too here, brethren. Yes, pressing toward it. All right. Now let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back and continue with the rest things of the key of David.